prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today is September 10th, 2019. It's a Tuesday, which means we are going to do the Blueprint Power Hour. We have lots of questions. In fact, I just got another one a couple minutes ago. We'll try to work it into the discussion this morning with my co-host, Coach Rob Regish. I won't let him stand in the wings any longer. Let's bring him in.
Calling all Blueprint Army, fall in line. It's time for the Blueprint Power Hour with Coach Rob Regish on the Superhuman Radio Network.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I hope you are too. We got a great show lined up today, and I look forward to the questions.
Lots of good questions today. Interesting questions, as always. We have some really there are a lot of intelligent people in the audience. I mean, a lot of intelligent people in the audience.
Including Panos Antonakos over there in Greece. My wife's going over in a few weeks, and hopefully they can meet and exchange some stories. So
I don't know. I think he's a good-looking guy. You better watch out.
That's the first thing I told her. I said, look, man, he's a good-looking guy. You know, be careful.
And those Greeks, you know, they know how to woo women. So that's
beautiful. Yeah. Great skin.
Yeah, right. So anyway, how's your training going?
My training is going very good, thank you. I'm coming off trap bar deadlifts yesterday, some neck work, which I'll talk about later, and I feel really good. Interestingly enough, I went to the doctor last Thursday, and he took my pulse and blood pressure, which were fine, and I was shocked. He did not take blood. He didn't run labs. And the last he knew, and I knew, my CK was 800, which is about four times normal. But I honestly think that study, those two studies I gave them, kind of quieted some of their concerns about creatine kinase levels being elevated somewhat in strength athletes.
Of course. Makes perfect sense. Yeah. I mean, how can it be any other way? Okay, so we have a question that starts off with Andrew Battles. And this is actually a question that I've heard before from lots of different people. He says, I don't really want to take peptides or MK677, but I do want GH release. MK makes me gain weight, me too, almost 10 pounds of water, so that's a no-go. And the peptides do too, although it depends on how much I use. There's a nuance there that you should address. What else can I do to elevate GH levels above normal, or is it even possible / worth it?
You know, this is a great question because growth hormone is obviously one of the big three, along with testosterone and insulin. The easiest way to elevate it is to get a prescription for GH, which will also probably give you the best results. But having said that, it doesn't sound like it's an option. Yes, there is every reason, I think, to elevate and optimize growth hormone, just as there is when people try to optimize testosterone levels. Now, important to point out that many things can elevate GH. You can whack yourself over the head with a hammer, and you'll get a GH spike. Perhaps the easiest way is fasting. Fasting has been well established to elevate GH, although, you know, per our discussion a few minutes ago, Carl, I don't think it's the most biologically active version.
Well, and here's really why. Of course, growth hormone is increased during fasting because growth hormone, one of the unique things it does is it shuttles triglycerides into the cell, and it makes the mitochondria prefer triglycerides as a source of energy, and that's why you burn fat. Because it literally makes your body prefer fat because it assumes a famine is coming, and it's now we're going to have to start using those storage tanks of energy that we've been keeping aside. But it at the same time shuts off mTOR.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic.
Fasting blunts mTOR. Yeah, so you're not going to build any muscle at all.
Right.
Using that approach to raising growth hormone. Go ahead.
Yeah. Now, one of the things, though, that fasting will do, and including intermittent fasting, is it will result in a pretty wide open blood-brain barrier. And that's significant because if you can get certain amino acids into the brain, it's been shown that you can elevate growth hormone levels. Now, what got the ball rolling there was arginine and ornithine that they really wrote about. Dirk Pearson and Sandy Shaw, I believe, of Life Extension first wrote about it. They came across the studies. The problem was they used intravenous arginine in these studies. And when we all went to the store shelves and bought arginine and ornithine pills, and nothing happened.
Well, not only that, but when you took enough of it for something to happen, then you got the runs because diarrhea comes on. You have to take like 10 to 20 grams of each.
Yes.
And then spend the next 5 hours in the bathroom trying to poop out chalk.
And I did that, and it tastes like battery acid. So obviously some problems there. Now, I know some people that use arginine alpha-ketoglutarate. Personally, I think there are better aminos for the job. The first of which is glycine, right? The sweetener in Thrive. I just looked at a study online showing 4, 8, and 12 gram amounts reliably increase growth hormone in a dose-dependent manner. And it's economical and has other benefits as well. So that's one to look into. Even a few grams, let's say 2 grams of glutamine, has been shown to elevate GH, although I'd use glycine over glutamine for multiple reasons. The best oral amino acid GH releaser, though, of all the aminos is GABA, gamma-aminobutyric acid, which is an inhibitory neurotransmitter in the brain. And there have been many studies on orally used GABA elevating growth hormone. In one, all 19 participants saw GH levels significantly elevated compared to the 18 controls that got a placebo. In that particular study, growth hormone rose by about 5.5 times, 5.5-fold above baseline. And in that study, they were taking 5 grams on an empty stomach. Here's the important point. Once you start using GABA, as with any amino acid, go slow. Because when it's taken on an empty stomach and in higher doses, it has a similar effect to beta-alanine, that paresthesia, that tingling, that flushing type stuff.
And plus shortness of breath. That freaks people
plus
out.
Plus shortness of breath. Yeah. And I heat it up like a furnace, and I remember sweating. I remember a period for about 10 to 15 minutes where I was just pouring sweat, sitting up still in a chair. It is a harmless effect.
It made you hypoglycemic, basically.
Yeah. Well, for those that are not expecting it, it can be a scary thing. Like you mentioned, you can get shortness of breath. If you panic, it obviously makes things worse. Mm-hmm. It's completely harmless. It'll pass. So I would suggest starting with 1 to 2 grams and working your way up. Personally, I use 5 grams before bed, and it undeniably, as with glycine, improves the quality of my sleep. For example, I don't have a lot of these, but I do have some nights where I sleep straight through, just like I was when I was young, right, in my teens. And that doesn't happen without GABA. Now, does it elevate growth hormone? Yes. But understand the spike in GH from these aminos is transient. In other words, it's not the kind of round-the-clock GH elevation that you're going to get from MK 670, 667, whatever.
677.
Yeah, and the peptides, okay? So still, you know, as this guy points out, not everybody wants to use the peptides or MK for various reasons. Now, I'll also tell you this, another great way to elevate GH is to participate in some form of lactic acid tolerance training. research on that is pretty clear. The higher blood lactate goes, the higher growth hormone goes. And I have seen in as little as two of those sessions a week, people on any reasonable diet, some of them, that's all they need to lose fat. They don't need to do cardio. And you'll see what I'm talking about if you do it correctly too. We're talking about stacking 5 to 7 compound exercises on top of each other, no rest in between sets, perform for higher reps, and you will see exactly why it is so effective. It's exhausting. It's exhausting. So look, here's the bottom line. Intermittent fasting timed with lactic acid tolerance training are both pretty powerful GH releasers. If it was me, I'd be using aminos on top of that. I'd be using glycine during the day, once before training, and GABA before bed. If nothing else, and this is the important part, even if these transient spikes in GH do not work to build more muscle and lose more fat faster, one of the big benefits is improved sleep quality, right? And what did we talk about last week in the tip of the day? Sleep underpins everything. Therefore, anything you can do to improve it is going to make a big difference. And these aminos are one of them.
And that's what I was going to say. Better sleep improves growth hormone production and growth hormone receptor sensitivity. And so better sleep is a big one. Larry Rinaldi said, did I miss one? I hope I didn't miss one. Just no. Larry Rinaldi says, if I'm going to use one steroid, just one, what would that be?
In my mind, that's a pretty easy question. Yeah. That one steroid would be the bread and butter.
The boring right, one. The boring one.
Yeah, right. Testosterone. Okay. And there are several reasons for that. The first is, look, it belongs in your body. Your body knows what to do with it, right? It's not recognized as foreign. Your liver doesn't try to destroy it, yada, yada. It is universally regarded also as one of the best mass-burning drugs, building drugs, rather. And just as important, this does concern you, it's legal with a doctor's prescription. And every effort should be made to find a progressive doctor supplying a meaningful amount. Test is also the baseline drug versus which all other steroids are benchmarked, right, in terms of anabolic to androgenic ratio. So that means you, too, will have a great benchmark if you do decide to use other things like DECA or D-ball. It's important to point out also the other two, I think it is, legal steroids you can get from a doctor, Decadrablin and Anavar. I'm not a fan of either one of those. You know, with the DECA, you might as well get your Viagra prescription. I've never used it, but I've heard from a lot of guys who say it really hurts you in that department. But anyway, having said all of that, testosterone or any steroid in an amount that's going to allow you to build muscle faster is going to result in a few side effects, but the primary one is shutdown, right? Your body's own endogenous internal production. It'll go to sleep for a while. And the extent to which it does depends upon a couple of things. One, how much of the steroid you're taking, and two, how long you've been on, okay? So those feedback loops, hopefully you know how to wake them back up if and when you decide to come off. Now, HRT is another thing. If you're on HRT, you're going to be on HRT pretty much for the rest of your life. If you're cycling on and off, that's obviously another discussion about how to get
that's
the
not
test.
HRT. That's a cycle.
Right. Also, too much test, and some people's body converts it to estrogen. That's not entirely bad, right? We discussed that last week. Too much test and a portion of it will be converted to DHT. And again, that's not necessarily bad, but if you're prone to male pattern baldness, it is. It'll definitely accelerate that.
Yeah.
Your LDL will be elevated on higher doses. I think the study showing 600 milligrams a week, that was one one of the side effects, although they're transient and they go back to what they should be when you come off. Otherwise, the side effects of testosterone are as follows. You're going to wind up with more muscle, less fat, and a great outlook on life. That's really how the only way I can describe it. Yeah. At least from an HRT perspective, that's just how it is. So yeah. Think about that. And think about the legality too. You know, at least make the effort with a doctor to get the real deal.
Yeah, to do it the right way. And you can, right. And then you can play around here and there, and you can, some people call it blasting and cruising. So you do your HRT dose for 2 or 3 months, and then all of a sudden you blast for 2 or 3 months, and you double down on your training, and you eat more for those 2 or 3 right. months, and then you come back to your HRT dose. You make small incremental gains over the course of the year.
Right.
It works, and it doesn't put you at great risk either. Tucker Megson, he said, I watched Supps, the movie, the director's cut online the other day. Absolutely incredible, as it really opened my eyes to the dietary supplement industry. Sounds like the early to mid-90s was the time to be in the business. I never got to use any Metrics or Ultimate Orange or some of the other stuff that they were talking about when it was new. Do you ever see things being like that again? Who would want it to be?
Yeah, and you know, I too watched that movie. I watched it yesterday morning, and it was good. I enjoyed it. I thought they did a good job. They'd look at it from a chronological standpoint, where right in the beginning, back in the 1960s, you had protein from the sea and some Joe Weider stuff, all the way up to today. But you make a couple of pertinent observations, and one of which is that the early to mid-90s really were a magic time, so to speak, to be using bodybuilding supplements. And a big part of that reason is, again, we went from nothing that worked and stuff that tasted like you can't even imagine how bad it was, to things that did have at least somewhat of a visible, feelable effect. There was vanadyl sulfate. There was Metrix. There was Ultimate Orange. There was Retibol. Dimetadrine 25, the original ephedrine supplement. GABA, right? And then creatine. And who could forget the first whey proteins, right? All of that stuff worked to varying degrees. So right there, right, that's a half a dozen. So again, what made this time period special was prior to it, nothing at all worked. And all of a sudden, you know, it seemed like every other month they were coming out with something that did. You just knew you were part of something special if you were part of that time period. I used all of those products, right, that I just mentioned, and in fact still do, minus the Metrics and Ultimate Orange, which, yeah, they're still made today, but they are not the products that they once were. What made this time period possible, first and foremost, there were some great minds behind the products, right? You had Dr. Connolly with Metrics. Who could forget Dan Duchesne, right? He was always scratching around the literature to identify new and exciting compounds. And it's hard to see that being replicated. Now, the second golden age of supplements was far different, but still had that same catalyst of great minds behind it. And I'm talking about the pro-hormone era. People like Pat Arnold, Bruce Neller, Celeb Stone, right, of Avant Lab.
Caleb, the biblical name Caleb.
Right. And now some of these guys, like Pat Arnold, are legitimate chemists, you know, brilliant minds, or they were simply gutsy people who brought forth everything from Andro to 4-diol to 1-AD and then ultimately methyl-1-test. Some of these, like methyl-1-test, were legitimate anabolic steroids, which people found.
They were not just legitimate anabolic steroids, but they were some of the strongest, whether pharmaceutical or not, they were the strongest. I mean, methyl-1-test was the strongest anabolic steroid I've ever taken, and right. I used plenty of Tren. And but there was nothing like methyl-1-test. It was horrible too. At the same time, it was right. as muscle building and anabolic as it was horrible to take.
Right. And so, you know, a lot of these steroids were found in the Vitatec, okay, which they most of them were researched by pharmaceutical companies way back when, but for whatever reason were not pursued. And boom, now we have supplement companies providing them. So needless to say, you know, the free-for-all only lasted for, what, 5 years? But it was a great time. It was very fun. I honestly do not see the industry getting back to any type of golden age anytime soon.
Well, now, but let's frame the golden age and what it really was, okay?
Yep.
These supplements were relatively new. If you read Muscle Smoke and Mirrors, you know that guys like Rio Blair introduced the first protein powders. They were soy protein. They were undigestible. People got sick from taking them. They tasted horrible.
Right.
From there to the 70s, you saw the burgeoning of a previously non-existing industry. I mean, let's remember, Beverly supplements came from the Beverly Health Club in Beverly Hills. They became a national supplement because there were no supplement companies back then.
Right.
Nobody was making this stuff. Paul Bragg was talking about it. Jack LaLanne was talking about it. But nobody was actually going out. So you saw an industry go from completely unwatched, completely uncontrolled, completely untethered. And, of course, a lot of hucksters saw opportunities yep. to make a lot of money fast before people wisened up. So you'll never see that again. You won't. Because that's where hemp oil is. If you want to see an industry, right now you can walk into your church and buy hemp oil. Like hemp yeah. oil is everywhere. That's going to change. You're going to see 5-6 years from now, it's not going to be what it is today, because every time an industry, people go, oh, I've got to get in on the ground floor. Everybody gets on the ground, and all of a sudden it just blows up. You have a lot of nonsense, a lot of noise, a lot of bad products, and then it thins out. It'll never be that way again. Now, people have to actually produce things that work because studies are written and people do blood work.
Right. And the barriers to entry into the supplement business are astronomical now compared to what it was. You know, back in the day, you could order up any old raw material, some empty gelatin capsules, stuff the stuff in capsules, and literally sell the bottles like
right,
that.
Right.
Today.
And people bought them and were happy to. They didn't think there was nothing better. There was nothing else.
Right. And so today, you know, you better have darn close to $1 million to start because complying with the FDA's CFR 111s and all of the paperwork and, you know, the inspection, et cetera, the cost of product, right? We were talking before. Most of these labs today want all their money up front, okay? And if you're running, you know, 1,000 bottles of X that costs, and you know, it costs $70 for each bottle, you know, do the math, and then throw shipping on top of that. Okay. It's daunting. And so that's going to work against seeing another.
But I think that's great.
Because if you don't
have to put any flesh in the game
yep.
to get started, then yep. you have zero risk of loss. And if you have right. zero risk of loss, you are much more likely to cut corners and take advantage of this stuff because what happens if we go out of business? We're not going to lose a whole lot. So
right.
those barriers to entry in any industry produce a better industry because
right.
people, before they drop $200,000, $10,000, $30,000 on product and another $30,000 on marketing and logos, and you know they go, wow, this better be good, or we're just throwing this money away. Maybe we shouldn't. Good, let those guys stay out, because if they thought to themselves, wow, I'm not willing to put my own money behind this idea, and why
right.
should you be subject to putting your own money behind buying it and using it?
Right.
So I like it. I think it's good. I think that the standards are good. We have to answer a question before we take the
yeah.
first break. Let's do this. Jeff Cliflin said, will low-dose testosterone therapy create testicular atrophy if you're low? He means already low. My integrative doc wants to see if I can raise it naturally before introducing it, but at 321 nanograms, I'm feeling it.
I don't know if he'll give him HCG or clomid or something.
No, HCG would be the way to go. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're all to my mind, you're always going to be left with your crappy production, right?
There's no such thing as low dose testosterone. There's either a therapeutic dose that works or there's not a therapeutic dose that works.
It's not like
you're at 321. Normally, we give guys 250 milligrams a week on HRT. We're just going to give you 100 milligrams a week because we just want to fill in. We just want to go from 381 to 670. So we're going to. It doesn't work that way. As soon as your body sees the testosterone from outside in the world, it goes, "Hey, we don't have to make any testosterone at all anymore."
Yeah, time
so
to
the
go
631
to sleep.
Goes away, and now you're back down with that low dose at 631, but you're getting a low dose to get there now. So. If you don't want to get on, then HCG, absolutely. There's lots of good protocols out there that you can follow. The one I like best is 500 IUs on day one and day two, and then 150 IUs going forward thereon, and for months, whatever it takes, for your testosterone to come back up. I would not use Clomid unless you know that you have high estrogen, because remember, right. Clomid is not only it's an aromatase inhibitor, combined with a selective estrogen receptor modulator. So both lowers estradiol but acts like estradiol, and it's funky. So I would just start out with HCG and see where that gets you and wait a few months. You got to give it 3, 4, 5 months sometimes.
Yeah, that's the best advice. You know, it's funny when you were talking about things to get the testicles going again. We just talked about the old early to mid-90s. Do you remember a product called Cyclophenil?
I don't.
Cyclophenil was, supposed to be along the lines of Clomid and HCG in terms of stimulating your body's own natural production to a higher level. And I can remember using it, and I can remember feeling it. Unfortunately, I didn't do labs. I did do labs on a lot of stuff, though. I did labs on Tribulus, DHEA. But Cyclophenil was one of those gray market things that was talked about in Bill Phillips' natural supplement review. For those of you that remember, a little pink paperback book where he basically listed everything that worked and where to get it. It was a great time. Yep.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we've got more questions from people. You're listening to the Blueprint Power Hour, brought to you by CoachRobRegish.com. It's a website that you should visit and visit often because there's so much great information. If you go to CoachRobRegish.com, you literally could spend the weekend there and learn so much so fast that it'll change the way you train, it'll change the way you eat, it'll change everything about you, and it's right there.
Everyone who's seen the new website it's 5 stars across the board. There's more information now and free information than there used to be, and that's saying something.
Yeah, that is saying something. So check it out. Go to CoachRobRegish.com. We'll be right back with more of the Blueprint Power Hour. Stay tuned.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Are you still on the fence about Body Protection Complex BPC Oral from DrSeeds.com? Listen to Maggie Kuhn, one of the owners of the C-Bus Lifting Company gym in Columbus, Ohio.
I had been having some nagging tendon issues that weren't injuries, just things that were annoying. You know, I'm 58 years old, so it's just older tendon kind of issues. For us powerlifters, you know, we really don't stop training when we have just nagging issues. We just kind of keep pushing through. And I started the BPC. What I noticed was I was doing some heavy tricep stuff that that would have killed me before when I had an elbow problem, and I was able to do those with literally no pain at all.
Go to drseeds.com, DRSEEDS.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your bottle of BPC Body Protection Complex today. You already know the benefits of red light therapy. Now you have to find the strongest, best one out there at the best price, right? That's where Scott Chevrolet found himself. He had to create Mito Red Light so you can get the strongest, best red light therapy unit in the world at the absolute best price. And the Superhuman Nation gets an additional discount. Go to MitoRedLight.com and use code SHR to get the lowest price anywhere, plus free shipping inside the USA and deeply discounted shipping worldwide. Go to MitoRedLight.com and use code SHR today. That's MitoRedLight.com. Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to RedconOne.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number one.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today. There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. The next question comes from Sam Sosati, and if I didn't pronounce your name correctly, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, I had to do that. I know that was like a really dick thing to do. You didn't even hear me, right? Did you hear what I said?
No.
I said, our next question comes from Sam Sosati. S-O-S-S-A-T-I, Sosati. I said, and if I mispronounced your name, I'm Sosati.
Oh, jeez.
Oh. I got to explain my jokes now. I must be really getting old. Anyway, he says, what products or supplements can I use to stay safe on a medium to heavy cycle of tests, DECA, and T-Bol? You think he's talking about D-Bol? T-Bol?
You know, I asked him about that, and what he described it as it's D-Bol without the water retention. So I don't know if it's something new or what.
Oh, bunk D-Bol. Yeah. Bunk D-Bol. Yeah. In other words, D-ball that doesn't work has no water retention.
Yeah.
I mean, D-ball it causes methyl estrogen, which is why you retain water, and right. That's part of the anabolic response. But anyway, I know about the use of milk thistle for my liver, but what else should I be using?
Yeah, this is an interesting question because for a lot of guys that use drugs, once they get on them and experience how well they work, they do not allocate any funds really to supplements unless it's, let's say, protein powder. Mm-hmm, okay.
Mm-hmm. That's food. That's food.
Yeah. This is a mistake, a big mistake in my mind, and a lot of people make it. So let's take a look at the various nutraceuticals and supplements you can use, especially when you're on cycle like this. First and foremost, especially with orals, you want to be using something to protect the liver, especially if you're going, oh gosh, anything beyond 6 weeks, I would say a good liver protection is absolutely necessary. So I'm not a fan of milk thistle. I just think there's too much too many things can go wrong in a low quality product. I do far and away though consider TUDCA, as the best liver protector out there. If you can't get Tuca, although it's widely available now, not like in the old days, you can pick up some N-acetylcysteine. It's the number one defense in hospitals against liver failure, right? You show up in an emergency room, they're going to give you intravenous NAC. So that speaks to one of the things that it does very well. Celery seed extract, hawthorn berry, and herbal diuretics, things like uva versa berries, bladder wrack, or dandelion root. Those can help mitigate some of the blood pressure issues on things like high-dose test or D-ball, where you're retaining a lot of water. Certainly, it pushes the blood pressure up in a lot of people. Polycosanol can be used in helping to keep your lipids in line, although I think ephedrine should be looked at for its effects, positive effects on your HDL good cholesterol. You have to weigh any transient increase in blood pressure against that. Because remember, we're already dealing with people that might have blood pressure issues. To put ephedrine on top of that, if it spikes your blood pressure, is dangerous. But I do like what it does for HDLs. Vitamin K2, 4, or 6 helps prevent calcification of the arteries over time. And it is different than K1, which you get right in your vegetables. K2 is what I use, 100 micrograms a day. Every day with food, I feel really good about using that and would feel good about you using it too. Melanotan too, right, that you've mentioned, Carl, can certainly help insofar as keeping the arteries open for business. I don't know if there's research been done on that or that's a...
Yeah, there is.
Okay. So, you know, you don't think about melanotan too for that purpose, but, you know, there it is.
Get in the tribulus, sun. Get in the sun too. That'll have the same effect. Get in the sun.
Tribulus terrestris or fenugreek can help in instances of erectile dysfunction, especially when DECA is in the mix. And the reason for that is both plants are rich in what's called furostenolic saponins. As a matter of fact, most of the research on tribulus is done in heart patients. So the best remedy for that, though, is Viagra. Okay, let's just say, you know, tell it like it is, sildenafil citrate, which now that it's off patent, right, should be easy to get.
Yeah, in fact, if you go to bluechew.com, that's BLUECHEW.com, and use code SHR, you'll get your first dose of actually multiple doses. You get a trial offer for free. You pay $5 shipping, and you can use either sildenafil or tadalafil, which are the generic names for Viagra or Cialis. Bluechew.com.
Yeah. And they're chewables?
Yeah, they hit you right away. They're chewable.
Yeah.
They have – remember back in the day when some of the pro-hormones had cyclodextrin mixed into them, and you could chew them up, and they'd hit you right away?
Yeah,
they do the same. That's a drug delivery system. They do that with these, with Blue Chew, and it's blue and it's got like a blueberry flavor, blueberry flavored Cialis and blueberry flavored Viagra.
Viagra.
Bluechew.com.
That's great.
Yeah, and my audience gets like a bunch of it for free, and you just pay $5 right. shipping to try it. Yeah.
Wow. So
get your boner on, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Interestingly enough, there's research on Viagra increasing testosterone levels.
Yes, increasing free testosterone.
Yeah,
but this is true. This is true of all the PDE5 inhibitors. I tend to like the Cialis better. So the therapeutic dose of Cialis is 8 milligrams a day for anti-aging purposes, and it increases free testosterone. It also increases your body, your liver's ability to flush out and get rid of fat, which also means people who have fatty liver. Non-alcoholic fatty liver disease would benefit from taking a PDE5 inhibitor with some regularity.
Right.
There's evidence that it causes new neuronal sprouting because of the increase in the type of nitric oxide that works on the nervous system. So there's people out there with multiple sclerosis seeing changes in brain function from taking low-dose PDE5 inhibitors. They're really interesting class of drugs that, unfortunately, because they got listed as boner pills. They're not taken seriously, but they have a lot of really interesting benefits. A lot of
them. Yeah, maybe sometime we'll speak more in length about that. Yeah. But continuing on, red yeast rice can help in maintaining better cholesterol levels, although you should be aware that, like the statins, it puts you at greater risk for rhabdo. So that, you know, you need to take that into consideration. B vitamins and or trimethylglycine, a.k.a. betaine, that can certainly help in keeping homocysteine levels down. And speaking of which, homocysteine isn't just an issue for drug-using bodybuilders, right? If you have really high protein intake, it can be an issue as well. And we're talking about a population that loves their protein. The best prostate support stuff that I've seen are pumpkin, stinging nettle, and, of course, salt palmetto. You can use a DHT inhibitor like finasteride, but I'm not a fan of that drug for a number of reasons. And I just think trying the other stuff first, at least giving it a try, is worth it. And I think, Carl, this is a tip from you, right? Copper at 1 milligram a day.
Yeah, it protects the heart from developing cardiomyopathy and cardiohypertrophy, yeah.
So that's another big one.
Yeah.
And finally, for those that are prone to male pattern baldness, maybe you're on a lot of tests and it's converting to DHT, hair loss on the crown of the head is best addressed, I think, by minoxidil, right, a.k.a. Rogaine. You can get that now at Walmart for like $12 for a month's supply. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously right there I listed between a half a dozen and a dozen different things that can certainly help in maintaining your health. So please don't dismiss them. At least give them a try. I've had great luck with a lot of those.
Okay, so the next question comes from Mark Lazinski. I train hard, but I'm in college, and I drink, parenthetically, sometimes heavily, on the weekends. How bad is this going to hurt me? How old is he? He's in college? Ah, man.
Yeah.
Dude, there was these three brothers. They were strongmen. I can't think of their name. They would drink beer while they were lifting.
Yeah.
You know, they were on the East Coast. They were like these Bavarian guys. The three. I'm going to look for it. Watch this. You talk. I'm going to find something. Go ahead.
I can distinctly remember going to a powerlifting meet, seeing a guy hit an incredible bench. It was like 455 at 195. And one of the guys next to me turned to me and he says, you know what makes that even more impressive? I said, what? He said he was drinking heavily all night and never slept.
Yeah, I believe that.
he just came in. Now, I never got into heavy alcohol use in college. It was very simple for me. I learned early. I had one night where I drank heavily, and I learned quite quickly, you can lift heavy or you can drink heavy, but you can't do both. Maybe some of those other guys can't, but certainly not me. The poor decisions that you can make, the hangover, and the high cost of making yourself sick is a non-starter for me. I was out the other night with my wife who had a drink. It was some sort of martini. It was like $14 for a drink. You know, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, at least he complains about me too, because I get a drink called a Negroni. It's got three different liquors in it. It's typically like between $14 and $18 a drink.
Right.
She goes to me, why can't you just drink wine?
And I remember one night in high school that I had where I came home, I passed out, and then I got up to use the bathroom. And instead of taking a right turn to go to the bathroom, I took a left. It started trying to urinate in my parents' closet.
That's not good. Keep talking. No. Keep talking.
But that's an example, right, of a poor decision I made that didn't really hurt anyone. I saw plenty of other people make those kind of decisions, and it certainly did hurt them, including one friend who decided to drive home at night, right, bombed out of his mind. He got into an accident, and he's a quadriplegic today, okay? But even that wasn't the worst part. He killed a family of three on their way home. Okay, so think about that. Just imagine living with that for the rest of your life. Hangovers, I mentioned those before. By far, that's the worst I have ever felt. How people that are alcoholics can do that day after day to themselves, I will never understand. So look, long story short, your drinking, especially to excess, is hurting you in no small way, okay? Just two nights of that kind of stuff, right, divided by seven in a week gives us 28%. I'm not the best at math, but, you know, nearly a third of your week is compromised in a big way, okay? Look, I'm not against going out and having a good time. I am saying that drinking heavily in order to do that, to try to have a good time, is a bad idea for all of the reasons that I cited. If you want to drink, do so moderately and never, ever, drive after drinking. And even if it's quote unquote just one, the life-altering repercussions that I saw that happened to my friend just are not worth it. This guy was a great athlete too, an incredible athlete. He was, you know, looking at scholarships. It's all gone. It's all gone now, man. Sad.
I tried to find those. I called Randy Roach, but he didn't answer. He's probably training a client right now. I was going to say, what's the name of those three brothers that used to lift and drink at the same time? They were strongmen. They used to do circus acts.
Wow.
They would have like a barrel of beer and a ladle in the beer barrel. And the ladle looked like a big glass. You know, it was metal, but it was like big.
Yeah.
And they would ladle the beer and they would drink it, and then they'd go and they'd squat 1,000 pounds. It was like, so it was unbelievable. They would drink the whole time they were lifting. It was so funny. My opinion on alcohol is this. I drink because I know I want to get that buzz and I like the way it feels, but I don't. I know it's counter to all of my goals. And so,
yeah, it's hard.
I don't drink a lot. I don't. When I do drink, when I do decide I'm going out drinking tonight, I drink a lot. I consume a lot of alcohol. But I don't do that maybe once every 2 months, maybe.
Right.
And the rest of the time I don't drink. Or I have a glass of wine in front of me and I sip it so that everybody else feels like I'm not the wet blanket at the party. Oh, look, Carl's not drinking. You know.
Right.
But to me, alcohol, look, I'd answer this question to Mark this way. Mark, would you go to Dunkin' Donuts and spend $30 and eat like 6 dozen donuts one day? No, you wouldn't, right? You'd be like, no, man, I'm going to feel like crap. I'm going to be inflamed. I'm going to be crapping for 3 days. I'm going to feel sick. I'll probably have to miss a workout. I'll get fat. Like all those things. Like, no, I wouldn't do that. And I look at alcohol the same way. If I'm going to go out and I'm going to eat something that's just horrible for my health, and I know it, then I'll have a drink with the same attitude. But other than alcohol is a neurotoxin. Mercury is a neurotoxin. So would you put a little mercury on the tip of your tongue if it gave you a buzz? It probably would give you a buzz. It probably makes your brain foggy. And No.
Yeah.
Alcohol has no place in a healthy lifestyle, except once every couple months, you know, celebrate something you feel like you want to break loose, do it once, but prepare. NAC, N-acetylcysteine, and acetyl-L-carnitine. Load up on those before you go out drinking. Load up on them. 2, 3, 4 grams, 4 or 5 times that day. And then when you come home at night, take some more. So at least give your liver a fighting chance to get that stuff out of you.
Yeah, good advice.
Fred Monroe says, interesting discussion recently among you and Carl about giving up caffeine. When you come off, how big of a difference was it, and in what way? I'm off today. Sean Kernshield said, you and I'll be having this conversation in a couple months, Carl. Because I said, that's it. I'm done with caffeine. I'm not doing this anymore. Go ahead. You go.
Well, I think first and foremost, I need to quantify my own caffeine usage prior to giving it up. So most days, I knock back around 600 milligrams of caffeine with a low amount of ephedrine, 50 milligrams, which is very low, at least for me. That gives me a pretty good boost, although over time, I physically, you know, the kick in the pants diminishes quite a bit, you know, depending upon how often you use it. I also had to admit that excess cortisol as a result of that wasn't helping me. The last bit of belly fat is, it makes it impossible, it seems, to come off no matter what I did. So I decided a cold turkey ephedrine, caffeine rather, down to zero, okay, on 5 days of the week. And the other two, when I trained heavy with weights, I used caffeine then. Within 2 weeks, I felt a major difference insofar as how hard that caffeine hit. It seemed to really, you know, give me a jolt if I laid off it for the other 5 days of the week. It was almost as if I had never touched caffeine before. You know, that it was, I was not expecting that. I was expecting, you know, a little bit of a boost. This was a major, major boost. So it was dynamite insofar as getting that major caffeine kick back again. It was murder, though, trying to sleep on those nights that I used it. And I used it in the early afternoon, you know, even before 3 o'clock. It was still very difficult to get to sleep at night. Now, it's important to note, I never experienced any caffeine withdrawals. And maybe that's because I didn't cold turkey a period and didn't use any. But to be honest, I never got headaches. I never, you know, any of that other stuff. So even, you know, there was no excessive drowsiness. I still had decent energy levels during the day. It just wasn't cranked up, right? That also may be because I used other compounds in place of caffeine during those 5 days. And ditching caffeine was a very worthwhile exercise because it caused me to come up with alternatives.
Methamphetamine, right?
Yeah. With a little Yohimbe.
Yeah. There you go. With a little Yohimbe.
Yeah. I'm pleased to say I found two alternatives to caffeine, one of which almost nobody's heard of, that I passed along to my Blueprint Bulletin subscribers. And I've had really good feedback on those. Here's the bottom line. Caffeine, I think, as an ergogenic aid, is gold if you use it when you really need it, okay? Not every single day in massive amounts. I would give that a shot, and I would give it some time. I think you're going to be quite surprised at what you find. Hopefully, you don't get any of the caffeine withdrawal symptoms. But that was my experience, and I would say I'm a better lifter for it.
So I gave up caffeine. I started caffeine again. When I went out to Boca, I started using caffeine again because I was out there and I was drinking Total Wars when I was with Aaron Singerman. And they felt good.
And I bet you got a lot done.
And yeah, and you know, and plus the guy was nice enough to send me two cases.
Yeah.
And so when I got home, I had one every day before working out.
Right.
And then I couldn't get any Total War for a little while. And so my friend Billy told me about Bang, which is a carbonated drink, tastes more like soda. Yep. And what is that, the dog?
Yeah, let me get her bone away.
Oh, no,
her.
No. Go ahead. As long as I know what it is. I just thought somebody was banging on the door. I was waiting for them to come in and rush you. So then I got the Bang, and I tried one of those, and it was pretty good. It's like 300 straight milligrams of caffeine. There's a little bit of Yohimbe in it and something else. Good. But there's CoQ10 in it, and there's creatine in it. Oh, big, good, okay. So I drank one of those. Well, lo and behold, a couple weeks later, yesterday, I woke up. I had a Bang. I didn't train yesterday.
Yep.
I still didn't feel good. I had another Bang. That was before I even got here to the studio. So that's two.
Yep.
And then I had a Bang right before the show. So I drank three of those drinks right before the show yesterday. Which?
How much caffeine is that?
It's almost 400 milligrams of xanthines a serving, because you got a little Yohimbe. You got 300 milligrams of caffeine anhydrous. You got some Yohimbe in it. So I ended up with almost 1,200 milligrams of caffeine yesterday, and I didn't feel good. I didn't feel it. I did, and I actually called Sean Kernshield yesterday. I said, "That's it. I'm done." He goes, "Oh yeah, we'll have this conversation again in a couple months." He goes, "I said, no, I'm really done. Caffeine doesn't work anymore. There's no reason. Like, yeah. I used to feel good, so I was attracted to that feeling, and now I take it and I don't feel nothing, which tells me my adrenals are probably literally sacked.
Yeah.
Dopamine levels in my brain are probably going haywire. And so I woke up this morning. I had my typical protein drink, which is 2 scoops of Thrive, a cup of egg whites, a little bit of water, and a bowl of oatmeal. I had that this morning, and I felt good. I haven't had any caffeine. Now, I never get headaches when I come off caffeine. Never, ever. But I will, like, be ready to go to bed tonight at 7 o'clock, I predict, of course, without any caffeine in me at all.
Wow. Yeah.
So let's see. Darcy Clark has a question, and then he has, and then I have a question from somebody also, and then we'll do the tip of the day. Have you guys ever used artichoke and coleus foscolin extract combinations as a nootropic? No, I've used coleus foscolin because there were many good studies that showed that it helped you rid your body of fat, but that was many years ago.
Right. That's my experience too.
I like L-tyrosine by itself. By the way, I'm taking 2 grams of L-tyrosine 3 times a day. I got to tell you, man, it's really and actually, I think that's why I don't feel the caffeine today because I took 2 grams this morning.
Yeah. Cool.
So we have a question, and I don't think he's going to hear us because I've been. If you've seen me doing something over here, it's because we have a listener named Tommy DiMartino, and he couldn't get the new streaming link to work, and he was trying to listen live. And for all I know, he's got it working and he's listening. But he's got this question. He said, can you ask Coach Rob if you have time? He's been drinking kava to wean off of regular alcohol use. I use ground kava in a Alubal, A-L-U-B-A-L-L, Alubal. Looks like a protein shaker with a ball to put kava in it mixed in with lecithin and water. The effects are very similar to alcohol without it messing with my sleep. That's interesting. Have either one of you tried this? Opinions on long-term regular use of kava. Thanks again, Tommy DiMartino. It's funny. I'll tell my story. Go ahead. You go first.
Yes. I have used kava, high-quality kava, and experienced many of the same, feelings that you have. I can also distinctly remember putting a bit of it on the tip of my tongue and my tongue going numb. So if you're dealing with a high quality extract standardized to a high percentage of kava lactones, which are the active ingredient, it is a great product to, let's say, take the edge off. I'm not aware of any long-term research looking at its safety. I would tell you that, like a lot of other things that have an acute effect like that, using it 2 to 3 days a week is going to give you more bang for your buck than probably using it every day. It's really a unique product. I would put its effects somewhere in the neighborhood of, let's say, 2 large glasses of red wine.
Really?
Yeah, it really relaxes the body and the mind. I'm surprised more.
Try it. I've never tried it. So when I was at the International Peptide Society Symposium, there was a guy there from California who owns a string of kava bars that are apparently really popular. I can't think of the name. It's got like some really cool name.
Right.
And he owns a string of kava bars. And he's like, people go, I said, so you mix it in drinks? He goes, no. I says, no alcohol? No. He says, we just have different strains of kava and we use different vegetable juices and fruit juices to bring out things in the kava. And they have all these special blends. And I was like, so people go there and just drink kava? He said, yeah.
Yeah, you know, people would not frequent these kava bars if they weren't getting some sort of effect. It's just like Starbucks. You know, people go to Starbucks to have a luxurious caffeine experience, most of them.
Right, exactly.
Right? And so these kava bars are probably great for later in the day. After your caffeine wears off, you can go chill out.
So where do you suggest, if I want to try kava, where should I go? Should I go to a vitamin shop?
I'll have to look into it. I don't know off the top of my head. It's been so many years since I've used it. But, I think you're going to be surprised. It has a very distinct, noticeable effect. And, you know, how many supplements
do you think it's good for sleep? Or would it, he said it doesn't disrupt his sleep. Is it good for sleep?
It was good for my sleep. I mean, I remember going to bed right away, like within an hour of using it. Yeah, it's, why we haven't talked about it before, I don't know. Because I had an exceedingly good experience with it. And most people, I think, do, if they get high-quality kava.
Okay. Wasn't there a scare years ago about kava being tainted or something like that? Do I recall that, or is that my imagination? I'm making that up.
No, I think you're right. I think it had something to do with liver function.
Right. There was some bad kava.
Yeah, and that was the issue. Like, much like that contaminated batch of tryptophan that came in.
Right, exactly.
There was a bad batch, so that's no longer the case, at least that I know of. I will look to find a reputable kava product and maybe give that out next week as to where to get it.
Yeah, I want to try it now. Because I do like to have a buzz, but if I can get a buzz that feels like alcohol but it doesn't include alcohol, I'm down with that. I'll be doing that.
I think you'll like kava. I really will. Do you drink wine?
The occasional, like I said, I'll sip wine. Literally, I'm the guy who literally drinks 1 ounce of wine.
Oh, I see.
I'll pour myself literally like an ounce of wine. I'll sip on it, and then I'll do it, and that's it.
No, it feels like
Elisa loves wine. That this would be a great alternative for her.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we have the Blueprint Tip of the Day. Stay tuned. There's a phenomenon today. So many of us sit for hours each day. Slowly, our bodies respond by shortening certain muscles. The psoas gets shorter and shorter over time. It leads to lower back problems, stiffness when standing, and inhibits your running performance. Now there's PsoRite.com. That's PsoRite.com. PsoRite is a device that allows you to stretch your psoas muscle and return them to normal function. And it does it better than any stretching movement or chiropractic adjustment. You can use it in your home, office, or at the gym. Experience what thousands of people already know. Check out PSO-RITE.com and save 20% off when you use the code SHR.
Who wants to have better sex? That's a stupid question. Everybody wants to have better sex. And you can start having better sex if you go to the website BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com. Use the code SHR and get a free order of your choice of the only two FDA-approved drugs to treat erectile dysfunction, sildenafil or tadalafil. Best of all, they're chewable, so they start to work in minutes. Go to BlueChew, BlueChew.com. Use code SHR, and you will get your first order for free. You do have to pay $5 for shipping, but come on, it's an easy deal. Who wants to have better sex? Okay, get busy. You know how to do it.
Quest Nutrition makes bars, cookies, chips, and pizzas out of complete dairy-based proteins. Our products minimize net carbs and sugar without sacrificing taste. Each delicious chocolate-flavored chip, cookie chunk, and crunchy crumble is custom-made to maintain Quest macros. It's time to enjoy foods that work for you, not against you. It's time to enjoy your Quest.
Men and women, you've heard about hormone optimization. Do you feel like it's something you want to look into? RenewLifeRx.com is the place to start. Their doctors can help you with the solutions. RenewLifeRx.com has a simple process for lab work, consultation, and taking a deep dive into where your hormone levels can be improved. Superhuman Radio listeners get 30% off your initial lab work and consultation. Go to RenewLifeRx.com to schedule your no-obligation phone consultation today. Feel younger, get in better shape, and be more productive at RenewLifeRx.com.
Are you looking for a better way to absorb the nutrients you know you need? Do what I do and start your day with lipospheric supplements from Livon Labs. Unlike pills and powders, Livon's patented liposomal encapsulation technology transports nutrients like vitamin C, vitamin B, glutathione, acetyl L-carnitine, and alpha-lipoic acid to where they need to be. your cells. Visit try.liveonlabs.com/Carl to learn why I take these supplements every day to help me perform in the gym and in life. That's try.liveonlabs.com/Carl.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. I was just looking up a recipe for Hassenpfeffer. Because I think I'm going to go rabbit hunting this weekend.
Wow. I didn't know you were a hunter.
So how would you feel about a gun company? Excuse me. Well, how would you feel about a gun company advertising on the show?
I'm all for the Second Amendment and your gun rights. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
Yep.
Excuse me a sec.
Big fan of right to bear arms.
Those of you listening to the show, message me. Would you be offended if a gun company advertised on the show?
Interesting question.
What's the blueprint tip of the day?
The tip of the day is very simple and forthright. Train your damn neck. So in my gym, there are a lot of big, strong guys, okay? It's a club fitness, but it used to be Gold's, right? And a lot of the clientele is a holdover from those hardcore times. And which is to say, on any given day, it's not unusual to see guys that run, you know, 220, 240, 260 or more in fairly lean condition. We even have a few pushing 300 pounds, believe it or not. The vast, vast majority, though, if you can believe it, don't squat or deadlift. And most give very little time and effort insofar as those big lifts are concerned. The gym, you know, looking at the gym head on, to your right is the upper body area, to your left are the power racks and deadlift platforms. And a solid 80-90% of the gym's population is on the right, working upper body. If they train their lower bodies, they must do it when I'm not there, but I don't think so. But one situation that I think looks even more ridiculous than what I call the flamingo physique, you know, guys that are all upper body and have stick legs. The only thing that looks more pathetic than that is to be jacked up everywhere else, but have a pencil neck, right? Like the rest of my muscle groups, I have an ectomorphic neck. I don't have a stout neck to build on, so to speak. Left untrained, it's right around 16 inches. It finally dawned on me one day how stupid it looked when I went to renew my driver's license. So I get the picture taken and I'm looking at it and I'm saying to myself, you got to be kidding me. You know, that looks awful, you know? And so that picture really haunted me all the way on the drive home. I remember that. I resolved right then and there to never have my neck look like that again. If that still doesn't convince you, understand that the neck is the gateway to greater strength on everything else that you do. It will also help you absorb a punch right to the head, whiplash from car accidents. And I can tell you for sure, it makes it easier fighting off chokes in jiu-jitsu. In fact, when our instructor is teaching chokes, he has everyone practice on me. You know, what he says is, if you can choke Rob, you know, you can choke anyone. Makes it very difficult when your neck's bigger and stronger for certain chokes. But back to the big two, visual impact and greater strength. When I began training seriously in college, I was the only guy that was allowed to train with the football players. And it wasn't because I was particularly big by their standards, but they loved my intensity. They let me train with them. There was one guy on that team that had an incredibly well-developed neck. I mean, he just, it was probably 20 inches, 21 inches around. He didn't have the biggest muscles everywhere else. But, you know, just one look at him told you, you know, he radiated power. Not somebody you'd want to mess with. His development was so impressive. His nickname on the team was Neck, very simply, just Neck. And so I resolved to get that kind of neck too, but it would be many years until I figured out how. I'll be honest and tell you, I've tried neck harnesses. I've tried band work. I've tried pressing my head, forehead into the a ball wedged into the corner and then work the back and then work the sides. But quite honestly, my neck didn't take off until I began doing two things. Number one, performing headstands for time. And number two, using the four-way neck machine, which is the loneliest of machines in my gym. Nobody uses it, and it just blows my mind. God only knows why. You know, I don't know. I'm generally not a fan of machines, but the four-way neck does an exceptional job of building up a bull neck, or at least to your genetic potential. Ultimately, I worked up to being able to balance on my head, no hands on the ground, just balancing on my head against the wall with 100 pounds of added weight vest and dumbbell weight. That is a practice that I discontinued, though, due to the risk of potential injury, right? Something happens and you lose your balance like that, you can break your neck. But still, it illustrates what's possible when you get serious about training your neck and find what works. A few other things that you'll notice about the neck. First, results come fast. The neck is like the antithesis of calves. It just takes off when you start training it. I put 3 inches on my neck inside of a year, probably more like 9 months. I'll have to go back and look at my training logs. So know this, once you find what works for you, it's pretty gratifying to see how fast your neck takes off and grows. Very cool, very cool. Second thing, I read somewhere once that there were more androgen receptors in the neck than like anywhere else on the body. And that finally made sense. Neck and traps. And bright, they go together like peanut butter and jelly. Mm-hmm. I knew that to be the case because I remember, even though my experience with methyl 1 test was a couple weeks only, my neck blew up. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, right, in the mirror. I wasn't even training the neck directly then, and there it was. Third, look, your neck is out on display 24/7, 365 days a year. Why wouldn't you train it like any other muscle group? Okay. Finally, it doesn't take much time. One or two hard work sets from the neck, even once a week, will get you pretty much to where you want to go. I do one work set. I work up to a heavy work set for each side of the neck, front, back, left, and right, once a week. And then later in the week, if I'm feeling up to it, I will do timed headstands with my hands on the ground to increase safety. Later in the week, if I'm feeling up to it, increase the weight like any other, you know, movement, increase the weight slightly from week to week. And in short order, you know, you're going to be sporting a bull neck everywhere that you go. Doubly so if you take in my recommendation on top range rack pulls or shrugs. You know, it makes a huge difference. So give that some thought the next time you set foot in the gym. Go slow, because a neck injury is nothing to fool with, right? I don't need to tell anyone. You know, if you sleep on it wrong, it's difficult to drive. You have to turn your torso.
And the older you are, you should move slowly, because your neck gets kind of impinged. You don't realize that. The vertebrae are kind of subluxed and they're a little wacky, and all of a sudden you start doing something heavy and putting weight on it and you hurt your neck. So you got to go slow with it, especially if you're older.
Yep, yep. And just, you know, adhere to the laws of progressive resistance. And provided you do that and you are consistent in your training week in and week out, you will only look and be that much more powerful of a person. And I'm going to close with a quote from George Jowett, who was a strong man at the turn of the century, renowned for his neck development. He said, "If I want to know how much brute physical power a man possesses, I look at his neck. That never fails to answer my question, as the size of a man's neck is the best indicator of both the quality and quantity of his raw nerve power in both man and beast. A thick neck radiates power." That's my two CCs on it. You will not be disappointed.
Mike Bear says, "Yes, I remember those neck exercises in wrestling. I definitely believe that the neck is very important. Look at Stone Cold Steve Austin. He broke his neck, but his neck was strong and it recovered quickly. Kurt Angle,
yeah.
Olympic wrestler, WWE right. wrestler, broke his neck, but strong neck and recovered quickly."
Yeah, it really is interesting. Wrestling wrestlers, more so than any athlete, seem to have the best developed necks. And why? They bridge. You know, they do the wrestler's bridge and variations of which are just using their own body weight. But my God, you know, look at these guys. They consistently have the biggest, thickest necks of all athletes.
And don't think... when you look at deer season is coming up soon. And deer season usually happens right after the rut. And the rut is when deers are mating. And if you look at male deer, we call them bulls. They have big, thick necks when they're in rut because their testosterone levels are raging and they're out there and they're looking to pass on their DNA. And their necks are so. You'll see that same deer at the beginning of the summer. His neck looks like a doe's neck. So it's amazing. There's social signals that go on. There's a reason that if you want to poke fun at somebody, you call them a pencil neck. There's a reason. Yeah. There's social signals out there. You have all the control to change the circumference of your neck and perhaps change the way people view you as an individual. Think about that.
Yeah. Even more so than arms, right? Everybody wants big arms. You know, guys think big arms look intimidating and whatnot. You know, you give me a guy with, show me a guy with 19-inch neck, 20-inch neck, and just 17-inch arms, and he's going to make a much more profound visual impression just with that neck than anything else. Even if his other muscle groups are developed to the same degree. Now, the Greeks considered perfect symmetry to be where the neck, the biceps, and the calves are all of the same circumference. I have great difficulty with that myself because my calves always lag. But look, if you're developing your neck and it's growing great guns, go for it. Don't let anything hold you back, including symmetry. So right. That's my two CCs.
Good discussion. Go to CoachRobRegish.com today. Be stronger tomorrow. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thank you.
And we'll talk soon. And we will see. So I'm off tomorrow. But Thursday, we have a great show. We have the Renewed Life RX show. We're going to talk about a whole host of injectable vitamins.
Wow. Yes.
Really cool stuff. And then Friday, we have a show you don't want to miss if you or someone you love has an autoimmune disorder. We will be talking about peptide protocols that literally reverse autoimmune disorders. So don't miss that one on Friday. So that's it. So I'll be off the air tomorrow, but I'll see you Thursday and Friday. Thanks for watching and listening today. See everybody
Great.
Later.
Thanks.